Welcome back. Pull up a chair and join us at the table this week for another episode of Paper Pencil Dice, a tabletop role-playing podcast. Welcome back to Paper Pencil Dice. So last time, our heroes, they discovered the Storm Chaser and got a chance to explore its inside.
Can we not call it that? That would be excellent.
I almost had scotch come out of my nose, Tony. I hope you're happy. And it's the good stuff, too.
I'll clean you out.
So we were looking the inside of the ship?
Yep, you were exploring it, and everyone rested for the evening, and it is morning, although no one honestly would ever know, because you're deep underground, and really, day and night cycles are kind of not really a thing down here, but...
I know.
But the it is now morning, and you are ready to go, and one of the first things you all hear when you first wake up is DM's voice, kind of coming over the intercom. Those, again, on the inside, sounds somewhat muffled. On the outside, I think Athir is the only party member that is on the surface right now. Says, all right, I think we have more access and more control over some of the areas. We haven't gotten into the Juggernaut Labs yet, but we should be able to get your area set up. It looks like I found... what looks like hangar doors in there that we might be able to control. I'm not going to open them right now because I don't know what's on the other side of them. But when you guys are ready to, we should be able to do that. I got some lights set up here. So here, let me try this out. And all of a sudden, you guys, like, the room actually is well lit for the first time you've seen it. And you get a much better look at the outside of the Storm Chaser. It's actually, it was difficult to see in as dark as it was, but it's actually kind of a sort of a shade of dark blue as opposed to sort of the blacker color that it looked when you first saw it. It looks like it's meant to be able to blend in. It's sort of it's on the bottom side, it's sort of grayish, and on the sides, it's blue. It looks like from the bottom, if it's high up enough and you're in clouds, it should be able to, hopefully, in theory, be able to mask itself within the cloud cover.
It's got fish markings.
But otherwise, yeah, the lights are on, and yeah, they says, so you should be able to make it up to the Juggernaut Labs. Again, we haven't gotten access in there. We are also, Unum's currently working on getting the elevator system down here back up and working still. Once it's fully operational, we should be able to bring the construct up towards your location to help out.
All right. So which way is it to the tubes to go to the Juggernaut Labs?
So it should be on the opposite side of the room from where you entered in from the lower Tempest Labs. It should be another ventilation system. This one is much larger though. But you should be able to make it through without too much difficulty. I don't believe, Unum, you have all the tunnel snakes disabled now. He goes, yes, I disabled them this time. I'm sorry about that.
All right, well, let's go get them and let's get over to those Juggernaut Labs.
Okay.
Nothing can stop the Juggernaut.
Before we move forward, I would have sent a message last night back to Master Gates.
Oh, yeah, that's right. What message do you want to send? Because you have 25 words to send it with.
Yeah. I sent, we found a console on a flying ship exactly like what Centauran Stone is in. Do you have any knowledge about how?
All right, so you sent that message off, and this is your response.
All right, so I got back. I do not know. Do you know who constructed the flying ship? Perhaps that might be a clue to where both came from. Excellent. So I sent that off like last night before I went to bed.
Yep.
Okay. And I would have got that back.
Who's waiting in your inbox?
You would have got that back, inbox? Yeah, in the that evening. Well, so you technically have one more one message you could send today. I don't know if you want to use it right now or if you want to save it.
I will hold on to that thought for the moment.
Okay. All right, so does everyone proceed towards the tunnels, or?
I'm just upset that he had two more words to use and didn't use them.
Could have sent him a heart, like, smiling
face. My bad. I didn't have anything else to say.
No, not you.
Bye.
Oh, I also only had two more words. I had two more words, I think.
So wasteful.
All right, so everyone heads into the tunnels. What order are you guys? Do you guys have, you want to give me a marching order?
Oh, good.
You said they're wide. I would be probably farther back.
I mean, you guys could all link arms and skip merrily all along. I mean, they're wide enough that you could easily do that if you wanted to.
Yeah, but, like, lowering down to, like, you know, hook around Tegan's arm would just hurt my back after a while.
You don't have to go that far.
Hooking around your arms would hurt my back.
Yeah. I'm, like, 6 inches shorter than you.
No.
I don't know
about that.
Wait.
I think he's 6 foot. I don't think the dwarf is 6 foot.
Yeah, I'm like 6 foot.
Uh-huh. Yeah, just like on Tinder.
No.
That's exactly what I had on Tinder way back in the day.
So, I think for a marching order, I would probably be in the back, too.
I would not be in the back. I would be in the middle. I would assume... I would say that I would be walking with Duskwalker.
Okay.
Just chatting.
Sounds good. Who's in the front? So we have Tormir and Aether left who haven't
I think we got voluntold to be both in the front.
Well, you are the freaking fighter.
I'm not a fighter.
One is.
Yes, you are.
No.
He's a monk. Aether's the fighter. Aether's the fighter.
Yeah,
he's a
but
monk.
You're still way more... fightery than I am.
I'm Tormir, the dwarf monk. Not Tormir, the dwarf fighter.
You could be a dwarf fighter. Also, I'm 6'8", by the way. Just FYI.
In real life? Okay.
Wow.
I mean, no.
No. I know Chris in real life. He is not 6'8" in real life.
No,
I know,
I'm not
that's
6'8".
Why I was like, I don't think you are.
No,
Chris
just all.
Exaggerates a lot of things.
Just all is 80 inches tall.
Nice.
What is that so math? Got, divide by wow. 8 and multiply it times 5?
So you're almost 3.5 Tegans tall.
Oh, man.
He's huge.
I tower over you.
Doesn't bother me one bit.
Probably doesn't even notice.
So you guys make your way through the tunnels, and this is a lot easier because these tunnels, there's not like sheer vertical and sheer, you know, going up or down. It's kind of more, you know, angled. So
that's vertical.
Yeah. Okay. Fair. but it's kind of more angled, like at most like a 45-degree angle going up or down for between the labs, and it's a lot longer distance. But really, it's a fairly uneventful, despite long trek. So you guys are find yourself walking through these tunnels for probably you know close to a few hours, like probably 2 or 3 hours it takes you to make your way finally through. There are areas where it's more or less in complete darkness and areas where it's well lit. You see a couple of other areas where it looks like it might have connected off to a different room, like maybe another lab or another area. But one of them that you see, you see it definitely what looks like another lab, but it looks like the rock in there has entirely collapsed. So whatever was in there, everything has collapsed in on it.
Can we still hear the door or the twins?
No, you cannot. And they had told you that down below that they have not gotten connect. Yeah, they have not gotten connectivity up to the Juggernaut Labs. As soon as they do, they're going to try to communicate with you. But they know for a fact that they cannot communicate through.
No, that's fine. I didn't know if they were in the tubes.
Yeah. No. Yeah. They're not in these tubes. Because these tubes are not
okay.
connected.
Because I was going to relay. I was going to relay what the condition of the. Tunnels
yeah, no
look
problem.
Like.
All right, so that's that, and then eventually you finally make it up into the area. You see a very similar floor layout to what you saw in the first area of the Tempest Labs with those extremely large stone tiles. A few other things that you notice immediately. There are periodically blue lights traveling between the tiles that are traversing in a variety of directions, sometimes taking a quick turn from one tile to another, but always traveling in the gaps between tiles. There are also these large pillars or pylons. They look like they are made out of a bronze or copper material. And they also seem to have some sort of a wire or metal, like a cylinder that's kind of wrapped around them all the way up. You also smell something acrid in the air. It doesn't sting your eyes, so it's not like a smoke or a caustic, but it's just there's this very potent smell. As a modern person, you might recognize it somewhat like the smell of like pool chlorine. So you're not...
Because we'll know what
pool
chlorine is. No. You as the player know what pool chlorine smells like.
Got it.
So that's about what your character smells. Trying to relay it in a way that is understandable to players.
Sure.
And listeners.
As you finally finish climbing through the holes in the grate into the room, you notice that that your hair starts to kind of stand up a little bit on its own. Just as you make that realization, you happen to glance up at the ceiling and see this large cannon type thing, very similar to that which was on the ship but larger in size, just kind of rotate over and you kind of see like this like static and stuff like that start to build up on the floor around you, and this just giant ball of blue energy comes streaking out and hits the ground, and everyone successfully dodges out of the way. It just hit the ground, and it seems to just kind of be sitting there for a little while. Hmm. And if you want to, got the map up here for you.
Okay, so on the map, we're at the south end. Looks like there's pillars between us and the north end, and there's some sort of like consoles of some sort on the east and west walls.
Yep. So
did you go head north?
Yeah, describing the rest of the room. So you saw those sort of copper pillars that you can see, and you can see those on the map. There are also these what look like control consoles. They look similar, again, to the same control console that Aether and actually I think most of the group saw inside of the constructs. These have different styles of controls, but otherwise the construction and makeup of them look relatively similar. And at the way back, you see a raised platform with what looks like there is a dwarf that is definitely not dwarf in size. He is about probably like 10-12 feet tall. Just standing there. This dwarf, unlike a normal dwarf, looks like he's made out of stone, however. And he's just standing there with a sword and a shield and metal armor on, but it's sized for a 12-foot tall dwarf, not a normal dwarf. As you guys can see down there at the bottom, there is the blue ball of energy that had just hit your location. Everyone kind of dodged out of the way into different areas. Eventually, the blue light fades and you see the scorch mark on the ground where it was. You hear a voice up ahead on the platform. It comes from that statue looking dwarf thing. And it says, "Trespassers, you have tread into the wrong place. Turn back. None shall desecrate the sacred laboratories of Promethor. These labs contain more power than the gods, and should they fall into the wrong hands, the world as you know it could be destroyed." At which point, he points the sword forward, and these things drop from the ceiling.
The silver, mechanicals.
And it looks like these look like mechanical spiders.
I'm surprised that you, of all people, would put mechanical spiders.
Because they're mechanical.
So they're not terrifying to you?
Nope.
By the way, our Tony is extremely scared of spiders.
Arachnophobia is a real thing. It's fine.
Who really? Really? Really?
What?
You don't appreciate that? So
you named the spiders Peter, Miles, and Gwen. Come on now.
So the thing is, in order for you guys to be able to explain wow. better which one's which, because if I go the left spider, the right spider, the middle spider, it's not as easy to describe. But if you're like, I'm gonna go charge Peter and attack him, then at that point I figured I'd name the things. We'll see how this goes.
I'm gonna run over to Peter on a park there, and then I'm gonna hit him.
Well played. All right, so anyway, let's go ahead and roll some initiative, because the spiders do not look like they're here for tea. Let's see here. Aether, what'd you get on your initiative?
I got a 28.
Okay. All right, and Tormir, what'd you get on your initiative?
I got a 29.
Just had to one-up me, literally.
Yep.
All right, and Tabitha, what'd you get on your initiative?
I got a 28.
All right, so you and Aether have the same value. Let's see. Aether has a 10 modifier, and you have a 13 modifier. So that puts you
Yeah, that's ahead. Right. Okay. Darn tootin', I got it right.
It's okay, I'm patient. I can let you charge into those spider mechanical things. And
I'm not charging anywhere. I stand back and shoot. Pew, pew,
and
pew.
Tegan, what'd you get on your initiative?
I got a whopping 13.
A whopping 13. That's pretty whopping. And last but not least, Jethal, what'd you get on your initiative?
I got a whopping 12.
Oh. Okay, and for filling out the rest, so we have Duskwalker goes on 14. And we have Peter, it goes on 29. Miles, 23. And Gwen goes on 17. So, up first, we will have Tormir goes first.
Tormir is going to double move and then flurry Peter.
Would that Kids, be a flurry of parents. Blows that you're giving him?
So many blows.
So many blows.
Giving them out like lollipops.
All right. Wow. Well, let's see how that goes.
The first one's a 35.
That hits.
Is that a crit?
Yes, it is a crit.
18 damage.
Okay.
Is there a special ability when you crit?
Yep. Is it stun or something? Yep. Once a day, stun on a critical hit. And I'm going to use that.
Is there a save involved, or is this automatic because you crit?
That's for the galvanic emission glove.
Oh, that's right. And is it what stunned is it? Is it stunned one or stunned?
You just told me stun.
Alright.
So you did flurry of blows and you stunned somebody? What does that look like?
Well, it was actually the crit. Well, I don't know if the second hit yet.
The second one does not hit.
Okay. The second one was a 16 for the audience.
Yeah, so it's stunned 2. I apologize.
Ooh.
For one round.
As in, he's stunned also, or?
No, he loses 2 actions on his next turn. And then the stun wears off.
So it's not a progressive stun, as in he goes to stun 1 and then to stun 0.
Every action you lose reduces stun. So you could, if you were, like, say, stunned 4, you would lose all 3 of your actions one round and then lose 1 of your actions the next round, for example.
Okay.
All right. So you moved up and you did 2 attacks. Is that your whole turn?
That is my turn.
All right. What does it look like when you use the galvanic glove to stun him?
All right, so on that hit, I got a square shot right into the side of the head. And as I hit him, arcing basically went straight into his head. And now he's just kind of like, you know, spinning his head around, like wondering where he is.
Okay.
I gave him a spider concussion.
A mechanical spider concussion.
Even better.
All right. Let's see. Then up next after that goes Peter, who loses two of his actions. And then he will go ahead and take his one attack against Tormir.
Wait, did that crit calculate correctly?
It looks like you rolled pretty close to max damage on your non-crit, and your crit was pretty close to average.
Yeah, because you rolled a 4 and a 5.
It should be two dice on the crit, right? It should be 4 plus something in the first parentheses, plus 5, which is my modifier, right?
Yeah. Oh, and no, it's 4 plus 5 times 2.
But there aren't two dice in that second one. So the whole thing was times 2, but I've got a 2d10 hit.
Yeah, I don't know where your plus.
Yeah, it's not a bad. It's not adding. It doubled the damage.
It literally is only rolling 1d8. Yeah,
It didn't add in the ability modifier. So you might want to check your macro there. What is your ability modifier for that?
No. My ability modifier is 5. So it should have had two dice in there, on the first. Yeah, on the crit.
Okay.
It also rolled a d8 and not d10s.
So you may want to look at your attack on that, because it looks like it's configured incorrectly for the crit. So what I'll do is I'll just take double what you did for your normal.
I'll just roll 2d10.
Okay, that works.
And then
You add 5 times 2. So.
Oh wait, hold on. I put a space in there. All right, so 10 plus 5 plus is 15. 10. So 30 total damage.
Oh, that's right, yeah. So 30. Okay, so 30. Got it? Okay, so his turn.
Fun with math.
He is going to take a single attack against you. See, does a 16 hit you, Tormir?
It does not.
All right, and that is the end of Peter's turn.
Ha!
Oh, Peter.
Tabitha.
So I am going to, surprise, surprise, shoot an arrow.
Okay.
I will probably not have Francis go up and attack, simply because they're mechanical and we all know how bad this is going to end up if he goes up and tries to attack things that are mechanical. So I am going to see. I want to make sure I have the range on. I believe I do. Gwyn. Yeah, I have range on Gwyn. So I'm going to mark her. Mark it. I don't believe we have.
Yeah, I don't think mechanical spiders have genders, but I'm willing to learn. I don't know.
It. We'll go with it as a. Since it is a mechanical being.
Well, actually, they could have an input or an output as a throwback to the holiday episodes.
Mm-hmm. Good times. All right.
Error.
All right. So I'm going to mark Gwyn as my
hunter's
prey person.
Okay.
I'm sorry, I'm just picturing the World of Warcraft where there's the giant, like, glowy, like...
The giant red arrow over their head.
Yes. So I marked them. And I am going to fire. Bah, 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 bah. 32!
32 hits and is actually a crit.
Woohoo! So then that is, I have critical damage and 16. Now, does that add actually additional because it would be a critical?
Yes.
I believe it's 10?
No. It's already factored in there.
Oh, okay.
So because it's a deadly weapon, it moves it from D6s to D10s.
Gotcha. All right, so I did 16 damage on my first shot. My second shot. Bum, bum, bum. 27.
27 is a normal hit.
Yeah, I got 5 on that one.
Okay.
And do I do the third attack button for the third attack?
You would, yes. And because since you did hunted shot, you get to take 2 shots as a single action. Uh-huh. So you use 1 shot to hunted or to mark the target.
Right.
Second action to fire 2 shots, and then you see you have 1 more action left. So you could either A, give either Gregory or Francis 2 actions as your third action, right, or you could take a single shot. Your choice.
I'm going to take a single shot, and I got a 26.
All right, that also hits.
Yeah, but it's probably not critical, so that's 3 damage.
3 damage. All right. Hmm. So, yeah, you've...
And it's piercing weapon, so I would be trying to aim for the leg joints, trying to mess it up so it can't attack.
Well, two of the shots kind of damaged the exterior hull, but that one critical shot got, like, right into one of the joints.
Yeah.
All right, and... It looks fairly damaged. So.
Okay, that's the wrong sound effect. I apologize.
That's okay.
It would be more of a... I don't know. I don't know what arrows actually make.
All right. Up next goes Aether.
All right.
In your face, Gwyn.
I'm a little curious why I'm at the back of the party, but I'll...
Everyone kind of dove out in whatever direction they could as quick to get away from the... So a large explosion, so I just kind of randomized everyone.
All right, well, it looks like Jethal's in front of me, which I kind of want to pick him up and drag him towards Peter. But
why? Why?
And let's be real, the other two spiders should have been Paul and Mary.
I know.
excellent.
Nice. Yep.
All right,
For all Let's you see old music fans out there.
I'm going to draw this super sweet two-hander that I've got that's now a flaming sword. Phrasing. Okay, and then I guess I will just move.
Okay.
Since I'm forever away from anything useful. So I'll just move my... up to here, right behind Brandon here. And just, that's my turn.
All right. Up next goes Miles. So Miles is going to...
Does he have, like, shocking grasp? I swear, if you make him go invisible, I'm just going to hurt you.
He seems to be moving in a stuttery manner, not a... you know, consistent speed.
Right.
Because he's lower frame rate.
Oh, I gotcha. All right, so he's going to run over, and he is going to make a single attack. So this one specifically, so he moves over towards you, and so what everyone saw when Peter attacked was it was kind of like one of the legs just came out and tried to, like, stab at Tormir. And it kind of, Tormir nimbly dodged out of the way and just hit the ground. This one is reeling up on four of the legs and the two arms and kind of coming in with them together at Aether. So this looks like a bigger attack, and this is, by the way, using 2 actions from Miles to make a single attack. Does a 15 hit you, Aether?
Nope.
All right, then he completely misses with his big attack.
Fabulous. Wah, wah, wah,
wah. All right, and that is Miles. Up next is Gwen, who is going to move down here. Do the same type of attack on Tegan.
No!
Yes! Yes!
No. Hit him. Tegan, does a 31 hit you?
Oh, yeah.
What's your armor class?
My armor class? Let me look. It's not good. 23.
Oh, it doesn't crit.
Just safe.
Well, you still got hit, but...
Yeah, it doesn't mean I'm still going to stand after this.
Okay, so you take 21 damage from that big attack.
Merely a flesh wound.
And you need to give me a fortitude save.
I don't want a fortitude save. 27.
All right, you are A-okay. So when he hit you, when he stabbed you with both legs, there was this spark of electricity that shot between them. That looked like you kind of felt like your muscles tensing up a little bit when the electricity went through you, but you do not feel like there was any ill effect on you.
Yet.
Okay.
All right. So, at this point, Duskwalker says, "I think I remember this one," and she runs over to one of the consoles. And manipulating the controls on it. And that is her turn.
Gee, thanks.
You're welcome. Alright. Tegan, it's your turn.
Alright, well, I was going to run behind somebody and give them some heroism and do all these great things, but with a spider right in front of me. Thing is how
a
I remember
spider.
What happened the last time I had something in front of me like this, it didn't turn out well. So,
just saying, Tegan, all the rest of us are all the way over here, you know.
I'd almost run behind you guys is about what I'm ready to do. Can I make it? How far is that?
You have a 25-foot movement speed, so you could make it to right here with two actions and have a third one left. Or you could run over here.
What about if I ran in between the two and just hang out?
You want to go right here?
That'd take three actions.
Right in between Peter and Miles?
No. Right where I put my person.
Okay. All right, so...
Two actions? That's three actions.
That would be all three, because that's just beyond where 50 feet would have put you. So you just go... You just sprint over there.
Hide behind the giants. Okay, I'm good.
All right, that's the end of your turn. So, Jethal, you're up.
I've never heard a dwarf be called a giant before. It's nice.
To the 2-foot gnome.
True. So what I'm going to do is... I'm going to cast haste onto Aether.
Does that have range on it?
Has a 30-foot range.
All right. How many actions does it take to cast it?
It's two actions.
Okay.
So basically for the next minute, you get an extra action each round, only for strike and stride actions.
All right.
I was just hoping it would make me go faster so I could run away faster.
Yeah, that too. Maybe not so much, but... but yeah, so I do that, and then... trying to figure out, I forget what my 30-foot range. I want to move. I'm going to move here, I think. So 1, 2, 3, 4. I think that's 30 feet.
Okay. It's within 30 feet, 25. So.
Yeah. I want to move. Basically, I want to move towards the. I'm moving towards the control panel over here.
Okay.
And then I yell at Duskwalker. What are you doing? Do I need to do something over here?
I'm just following your instructions.
What were my instructions?
All right. Is that the end of your turn?
Yeah, it's the end of my turn.
Okay. So at this point, the large dwarf over on the large raised platform, kind of like shuffles around a few things and like points at different things, and suddenly, give me a sec here. Bunch of things.
Suddenly, in a while.
Suddenly, after a while. So you see, from the ceiling opens up these two things that come down. These large wasp looking things. These are mechanical wasps. They actually look very surprisingly similar to those same mechanical wasps that we saw way back in Incanavis. Except for these ones have this sort of like, looks like a green sort of jet of stuff that's coming out. And anytime you're near them, that caustic smell that you smelled in the air gets a little bit stronger. The other thing that you also happens, give me a sec here, is the area right around where you guys are starts sparking up with energy again.
Well, good. Sweet. I need to move.
It looks like that will hit at the end of the round.
Okay, so it's where that little cloud is on the map?
Yeah, there's that little cloud where the energy is kind of sparking in that area, and that is where it looks like where the cannon is currently kind of like charging up whatever that last blast that hit on the ground near you was.
You guys have fun with that.
All right.
You have fun with Gwen.
I will.
So, up next is Tormir.
And then run away.
All right, Tormir is going to circle around the side of Peter.
I did forget to mention one other thing really quick that that you guys can see but our listeners can't, which is that the all those large pillars are beginning to arc with electricity that is arcing between each other. If you were to pass in between two pillars that have electricity charged between them, that electricity, your guess would probably arc into you. Between you would be the conduit between the two pillars at that point.
Ouchie.
Well, good. Well, good.
You just gotta jump. So when it's you a make you shall not so pass.
What, Jess?
It's a you shall not pass lightning.
I mean, it's you could pass. It's just you'll probably get hit as you pass. So it's not a barrier. It's just a wall of damage that you'll have to walk through.
It's a deterrent.
Sorry, go ahead, Tormir.
All right, so I've made one move action to circle around to Peter's left side. And then I will start with a flurry of blows. All right, the first one is a 29.
Okay. Does 29 that hit? Hits. It okay. Does not crit.
All right, 24. Is the second
24 one. Hits, also does not crit.
All right, I figured out I was doing something wrong, so I've got my falling stone attacks are forceful, and so each subsequent hit in a round adds an additional amount of damage equal to the number of damage dice. So the first hit was 11, and the second hit was naturally a 12, but would add 2 to become 14. And then okay. Combine with the first hit to become 25 total damage for the purpose of bypassing DR.
All right. If that eliminates Peter from the running.
He petered out.
He petered out. Mm-hmm. So the mechanical thing, its legs kind of start losing their ability to hold on the ground. It just kind of falls flat and the legs are out. And it still twitches every once in a while, especially since it's so close to the electrical field. But it doesn't appear to be moving much under its own control.
Alright. And then is the wasp on the ground level, or is it flying up in the air?
It is. I mean, it's not far off the ground. So if you were in melee range of it, you would be able to hit it. So for the purpose of reference, I'll just explain this to both you guys and the listeners at the same time. I have a house rule that I have for pretty much all games I run when it comes to flying. So tracking things in true three dimensions gets way too complicated way too quickly. So I generally have things, there are three heights you can fly at. There is hovering, which is that you're just off the ground, which means if you are going to use melee attacks, you can use them against other targets that are on the ground, and vice versa, targets on the ground could hit you with melee attacks. I have flying, which is where you are off the ground, presuming there's enough vertical space to do so. You can make ranged attacks to things on the ground. I don't track the trajectory, so range is range in two dimensions, essentially. You cannot be meleeed, and you cannot perform melee attacks. You can only perform ranged attacks if you're flying. And then there's also like escape height, which means you can fly high enough up that you can declare fair escape by going vertically, assuming, again, there's vertical space, and that would not be allowed here because there is a ceiling. So he is at hovering height, which means that he could be meleeed and you could melee him.
Despite asking that, I think I'm going to move to Miles' rear right.
Okay. Sounds good. Is that the end of your turn?
That is the end of my turn.
All right. Tabitha, it is your turn.
All right. So I'm going to fire on Gwyn.
Okay. And she is still your marked target, I believe, correct?
Correct, yes. First one, 24.
That hits.
10 damage.
Okay.
22 for second one.
That also hits.
5. And then my third attack will be 21.
That also hits.
And that is 10 damage.
Okay. Gwen is still standing.
She's still standing. Yeah. Can I do another attack?
Yes, you have, because you've only used two actions.
All right, so another 21.
Okay, and that hits?
Yep, 12 damage.
All right, and Gwen, similar to Peter, collapses in a very similar fashion.
Yeah, how you like me now?
You're pretty effective.
Very effective while piercing against metal creatures.
I mean, especially when you can target their joints, works out really well. Yeah. All right, is that the end of your turn, Tabitha?
Yes, that is.
All right, Aether, it is your turn.
Well, since it's my turn and I'm in range of Miles over here, I will stride forward and attack with my two-handed falchion here.
Okay. I believe in that position you would be considered flanking.
Cool.
So you can add additional +2 to your attack roll.
Sweet.
Is he still inside that cloud?
He is, yes. Aether is still inside the cloud.
Oh, there's a cloud there. Well, I should move out of the cloud then. Right there.
That is still technically within the cloud. You one more over to your right and then, yeah, or to your left. Then, yeah, now you're out of the cloud.
Okay. I couldn't even see the cloud now that you mention it. Okay. I want to be out of the cloud because, who knows, standing and stuff is usually bad. WoW has taught me these things.
What is the cloud?
Boo. Yes, it's very nebulous. All right. So let's just go ahead and give a attack. How about a 19, which would be 21 if that's still flanking?
You are still flanking, and yes, a 21 does hit.
All right. So that's 10 damage flaming.
10 flaming damage or 10 damage plus additional for flaming?
I think it's additional for flaming.
So how much additional 26. Flaming damage? It rolled on your thing. It's at the bottom.
Oh, did it? Oh, yeah. Sweet. Wow, this tool is smart. Okay, so 2 additional flaming damage. Okay. So a total of 12 damage then.
So when you do that, the 10 damage definitely damages it. The flaming doesn't seem to do much to it, however.
Okay. All right, well...
I'll try to stab at it again because, you know.
Okay. Yeah, because you
hack
moved
off
you
a leg or something. Who knows?
Yeah, yeah. You probably severely damage one of the legs.
Yeah, let's try. Let's try. See if we can get it. Wow. 15 does probably not hit, I'm assuming.
It's 17 because of flanking, but that still does not hit. That's correct.
Yeah. So that's my turn.
Alrighty.
You have haste.
So the... I'm sorry?
Haste.
Yeah, that's your additional action.
Haste gives him one additional action? Sweet.
Yeah. I mean... Thanks for... I mean, you did give it to me after all. I might as well use it.
Yeah.
I always forget about these things. I'm not used to that. But, all right.
And
so,
you can only use it for strike and stride.
All right. Well, I attack again for a 28.
Okay. 28 is a hit.
All right. That'd be 8 damage. And if no flaming is irrelevant, then just 8.
You had 4 flaming damage on that hit, and that is not enough to overcome its resistance to fire.
Okay. That's it.
All right, so the two wasps that entered, the first of them goes. I named this one Sting.
No.
Of course
you
did.
Does it glow blue?
What? No, it doesn't glow blue. And it traverses right through the electrical field on the opposite side of Tormir. And actually, it looks like it's like Stinger actually charges up as it moves through the electrical field. It doesn't seem to be hurt by it. In fact, it actually appears to be powered up by it. And it is going to make an attack against Tormir. And it is flanking along with Miles. All right, so...
That's sandwich.
It's a mechanical sandwich.
Let's see. Tormir, does a 33 hit your armor class?
Yes.
Does it crit your armor class?
Thankfully, no.
Hooray! So you take 13 damage from that hit. Okay. 4 of which are electrical. If that, I don't know if you have any electricity resistance or not.
Nope. Only heat or fire.
All right, so it does.
Is that when only when you're in your rock stance?
No, it's just I'm a forged dwarf.
Oh, I'm sorry. No, it gets one more attack because it moved and attacked once, and it gets to attack a second time.
Of course it does.
Oh, and this one should be a lot less than that, but it doesn't matter. So, does a -1 hit your armor class?
Yes.
Okay. Went so low, it wrapped around the top and critted you. All right, so it misses on its second attack.
Actually, it tried to sting. I deflected it, and it just popped it right in the head. Why are you stinging yourself?
And Miles will make one attack against Aether. Actually, will make one attack against Tormir, and then make its big attack against Aether. So on Tormir... Does a 18 hit you?
Nope.
Okay. And then on Aether, with its big attack, does a 17 hit you, Aether?
Nope.
These spider constructs have been very ineffective, except for that one that hit Tegan.
Yeah, hit the little guy. What is this? You bunch of bullies? You can only hit the person that's 2 feet off the ground?
So you accept that you're tiny.
Yeah, I see how it is now.
I'm huge.
Okay, so Tabitha is going to make an Arcana check.
Tabitha is
I'm sorry, not Tabitha. Duskwalker, I apologize. It's Duskwalker's turn. So
I would be happy to try, but it's not going to be pretty.
Hey, and she gets a...
Oh, yeah.
She gets a 41. Two of these. Hang on.
Like father, like daughter.
Boo.
Yeah, you did a nat 20 also, didn't you? On
that
golem.
Or that, yeah.
Cool.
That she deactivates two of the pillars.
Oh, excellent.
Sweet.
Good job! Your father now has pride in you.
And that was all three actions for her.
Good job!
For those that get the reference. I didn't before.
Mm-hmm. All right. And she goes, okay, that should work. We need to deactivate one of the other ones now. And then before he activates more.
I'm working my way there.
Tegan, your turn.
Okay, definitely want to get out of the cloud. So get off of my cloud. Are we doing old?
Do you want to get on-prem?
Gosh darn it.
It's one, two, three. Can I go there?
I don't see why not.
I don't really don't want to go there. Can I go over here? Is that too far?
See, you were there. You could go. You could go right here.
Why actually, no. You call one of them Henry.
Yeah, the other wasp is named Henry.
Henry and Sting.
Yep.
Because I was trying to heal Tormir without getting near the wasp.
Who's Henry?
I'm not really that bad off.
Oh, you're not?
No.
Just a name. Right.
Well, no, because he has references.
I'll
just cast heroism on Aether. So Aether, you get, what does heroism give you?
Also gets heroism? Dang, you better start doing stuff, Aether.
I'm gonna sit this next turn out.
He gets
Aether's just gonna sit there and flex at everyone.
I'm just gonna do a bunch of intimidation checks against the mechanical creatures.
He gets a plus one to attack rolls, a plus one to perception, plus one to saving throws, all of them, and plus one to all skills checks.
Okay.
I'm upset, by the way, that one of the wasps wasn't named Janet.
Why is that?
The wasp.
Oh, yeah, that's a good point. I didn't think about that. Though they're all named something very specific.
Okay, that's my turn.
All right.
Wait, I have to know. What's the Henry reference?
Henry Pym? Yeah.
Hold on.
No, that's
it. It'll come up. So Henry's going to move. And hit and miss. So it gets a 23, which is a hit on Duskwalker, and a 17 is a miss.
I guess I don't think of him as.
And does 7 damage.
Henry.
And up next is Jethal.
So the copper pillars. The two in the middle got turned off, but the ones on the outside did not. So those are still kind of arcing?
They are still kind of arcing. So if you get within a certain range of them, you could get potentially shocked.
Is it the range that the graphics shows?
Yes, it is. So typically, if you were to go through when both sides were active, it doesn't matter where you go between them because you'll get hit no matter what. When one of the two sides is deactivated, then you can make it around the graphic, then you can make it where you need to go. So they go about 20, 25 feet out from there.
Sure. Okay.
And in roughly the direction that it shows on the map.
All right. I move, double move, basically, and move around, avoiding that over to this other console.
Sounds good. And then it's going to take 3 actions to use the console to deactivate.
I shield.
All right.
And I'm done.
Sounds good. All right. And then the dwarf gets his turn. All right. So he is going to activate or bring more things in. So the other pillars in the back activate, as does this one always reactivates every turn. So the other two wasps also now enter the fray, and they are named Andy and Stuart.
Look what I can do.
Andy and Stuart.
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 Now I want to do it. Now I want to do it.
And they, adding into the initiative, go on 13 and 14. Still ahead of me. Okay. All right, so that is the end of his turn, and he also yells out, the large dwarf goes, "All trespassers shall be punished," and he's just like starts screaming out, and he, like, you know, gestures his sword and his shield different directions, and more, those two other wasps come down from the ceiling, and they're also in a hovering position, and like I said, those other pillars activate. So we're up first, Tormir. I think I've stumped Jessica in trying to figure out what the pattern of the wasps is.
I've just accepted I don't know it. So,
listeners, if you have any idea what I went with Sting, Henry, Stuart, and Andy, let me know. Send me an email at paperpencilicepodcast@gmail.com and let me know what you think, if you can figure it out.
All right, so Tormir will flurry of blows on the wasp to start.
On Sting.
So the first attack is a 23, and the second is a 17.
The 23 hits, the 17 does not.
All right, so that first attack is 17 damage.
Okay.
He's flanking.
No, I'm not.
He's not flanking Sting, no.
Oh, okay.
Sting is flanking him.
And then I will transition.
Oh, I did forget one other thing, which is that Cloud goes away and is replaced by the ball of electricity.
You didn't.
I didn't what?
Oh, I get it. Is it the author?
Nope. All right, and the cloud shows up over there.
Where's over there?
Do you guys not see it on the map?
No.
I should probably, the listeners can't see it on the map. That's fair. So the cloud shows up over by Jethal near the console. So where the next ball of electrical energy is going to show up.
Well, that's not great.
Use all right, Tormir, it's your turn.
Use two actions and move. All right, so continuing my turn, I'm going to direct two attacks at Miles.
Okay.
The first attack is a 20.
Which hits.
And the second attack is a... it's a crit, so 38.
With that crits.
All right, so the first attack is on Miles is an 18.
Okay.
The second attack is a 36.
Wow. Damage. Nicely done. So that takes Miles out of the combat.
Tormir smash.
Tormir smash. Nice. Good.
Smash.
That's right. You take that, you spider. Get up. I dare you.
I would walk 500 miles and I... All right. Is that the end of your turn, Tormir?
Yep.
All right.
Tabitha, actually, hold on. I told you the wrong damage on that.
Oh.
So
this is driving me nuts.
So the subsequent attacks after the second one have the damage dice not just... for each damage dice, but then doubled. So that was an additional 8 damage on top of that. Not that it really stopped it from dying, but
it just died even more.
So that was, actually, that was an additional 12 damage.
Oh, well, so still died even more.
Yes. I just wanted that to be, you know, known for reasons.
So I will tell you this. You were a little bit beyond killing it 1.5 times.
So did I just kill it twice over now?
It came close. All right. Is that the end of your turn, though? Or do you have any more damage to add in?
That's it. Tormir Tormir has decided this combat, he is not dancing. He is just punishing.
Like, at that point, Aether's on the other side of you going, stop, it's dead! And you're just, like, pounding at it.
Oh, no! Yeah, he decimated Sting?
No, he decimated Miles.
Oh, Miles.
All right. Tabitha, it is your turn.
I'm checking to see what my range is. No, I don't have range on Sting. It's close. If I went... Sorry, doing my measuring. I was trying to do this before.
But you're trying to figure out my naming, my names?
I know, I...
I'm totally gonna keep doing this for monsters, just because I like messing with you guys. I mean, any good GM always likes to mess with their players.
I usually can get those, but I think these are obscure names. So I'm going to mark Sting... And then I am going to fire at Sting with my first shot.
Okay.
20.
20 hits.
Oh my god, I figured it out.
2 damage.
Did you get it?
Yes.
I've got Hank. I don't know Stuart and Andy.
I would appreciate if Sting wasn't so close to me.
Yep, you got it.
Yeah.
I'm not spoiling it. I'm not spoiling it. But I hate you.
But yeah, you know it now. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right.
If I was so, a Karen, okay. I'd call the cops on you.
Boo. 18.
18 does not hit.
Oh, wait, I can't do. No, I could do a third. An 11 that definitely doesn't hit.
So you didn't mark it, I assume, correct?
I did.
Oh, then mark. Yeah, oh, no, yeah, you get one more attack. Yeah. What was the third attack?
It was 11. It didn't hit.
That does not hit either. Okay. Is that the end of your turn?
Yes.
Actually, no, you wouldn't have got that last attack because you moved up as one of your
Oh,
items.
That's right, right, right. Well, it doesn't
matter. No, it doesn't matter. You missed anyway, so.
Ah, the Stuart and the Andy are throwing me off.
Oh, I see.
No, no,
the thing is, are they putting out a red light?
All right, Aether, it's your turn.
So I guess I'll join Brandon up here, and
who's Brandon?
Since he killed the thing in front of me, completely dead. So I'll move up again.
Okay.
It seems like this is my turn. Move up, then attack. Move up and attack.
Yeah, but you still get 3 attacks.
I know, right? And I can... Let's see what I actually can do with it. So let's find out.
I'm really just punishing you for Jethal not putting the haste on me.
Okay, so that's like a... I got what? I still got the... No, I don't have...
You're not flanking, now. Yeah.
So I just have the +1 from the bravery or whatever... He gave me
heroism.
Right.
Heroism, yeah. But yes.
Yeah, so 33.
33 is a crit.
Ooh. All right, so that's a 10 damage on the crit, because naturally I would roll a 1 on damage for a crit, because
okay.
That's how it works.
And do you do any flaming damage on that attack?
3, okay. But if that actually does anything, I think... I'm trying to remember if there's something critical.
It does. This the wasps do not have any fire resistance, so
okay.
Yeah, it I don't know if it does anything on a crit.
Yes,
but
it does.
Does it double or
it does a 1d10 persistent damage.
Okay.
So does the 1d10 go right now or when his turn starts?
When his turn starts, which is immediately after your turn.
Okay. Then, since I still got attacks left, I might as well use them.
Okay.
Let me see here. Let's find out where my buttons are at here and hit them. Let's see what we get.
You're pushing my buttons.
You're pushing my buttons. 21.
21 is a hit.
That's 13 slashing damage plus 6 flaming.
Okay. And that finishes off Sting, as Sting falls to the ground with a unceremonious thud and some mechanical parts rolling away.
All right. Let's see here.
You still have one more action. It's either a strike or a stride.
Well, I would have used the strike with my other action, right? It doesn't have to be the fourth?
No, it doesn't have to be the fourth. But you have one additional action left, I guess, if you used your strike as one of your actions. So.
Yeah.
Yes, you have one action left if you want to use it.
I think I will just move over here to go help out this girl over here, Duskwalker. Because, you know, hi, Jethal. It's Duskwalker over here. And that's it.
I'm aware where she is.
All right. So it is going to be Stuart's turn. And he is going to come and attack Aether.
Is Stuart smaller than the other wasps?
Stuart!
Stuart!
I was going for
so Stuart. It only gets one attack on you because it moved twice. So does a 24 hit you, Aether?
Yes, it does.
All right. It did not move through an electrical field to get to you, so it doesn't get any additional damage. But it does 13 damage to you.
All right. I see what's going on here.
They're really good at rolling 13.
They are. It's their lucky number. All right. Up next, Duskwalker is... She's honestly... If she stays there, she's just going to get beat up on by Henry, so she's going to move and get away. So let's see, move there. And move out to the opposite side, flanking along with Aether.
Which wasp is she flanking?
She is flanking Stuart along with Aether. And she gets a 22 to hit. And does a grand total of 10 damage to Stuart. Oh, hold on.
Isn't she a rogue?
Yep, I forgot. She gets sneak attack on that attack as well.
Sneaky, yeah. Sneaky,
so 17 sneaky, damage sneaky, in total.
Sneaky, 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 sneaky.
And that is Duskwalker's turn. And up next it goes Andy, who is going to move through an electrical field down here next to Jethal.
What? No. Can't possibly come after me.
Jethal, does a 29 hit you?
Yeah. Okay. Just checking to see. That's a crit.
Wait, what's your AC?
18?
No, it's not.
Why is it not?
Why would it not be?
What did you cast last round?
Oh, shield? Good call. Yeah, I did cast shield last time.
So what's your armor class?
I forget. It adds just one, 20. I think, right?
Or is it one or two? Oh, it may just be
one. Gives you plus one, so no, it's
still
19.
Crits. Yeah, because it beat it by 10. All right. So, hey, minimum damage for you there, Jethal. You got 14 awesome. Damage. You are lucky. Four of that's electrical damage, in case you have any resistance.
Nope.
And sweet. You also now have a 1d10 persistent electrical damage on your turn.
Excellent.
That is a shocking revelation.
It is a shocking revelation.
I'm
Tegan.
Shocked, I tell you. I'm shocked.
It is your turn, Tegan.
We're all abuzz about what just happened to him.
Boo.
Jethal's like, I'll take the console. Oh, no.
Pretty much.
Buzz off.
You really outkicked your coverage on that one.
Boo.
I really did.
Come up here behind Tormir, and I'll do the same thing. I'll give him heroism, too.
Okay.
So plus one to.
You're a pretty buff guy, Tegan.
Yeah. You get a plus one to stats, to attack rolls, perceptions, saving throws, and skills checks.
Nice.
All right. Is that the end of your turn, Tegan?
One and two. Yes, it is.
Okay. Jethal, it is your turn.
It sure is.
1d10 persistent damage.
Yeah.
Yep. Get so that, roll. So I'll roll a d10
I have
for
to
you.
Roll it? Oh. Okay.
So you take 1 damage.
Excellent.
And then
that is a once in a lifetime moment right there.
That minimum damage on everything. Yeah.
Well.
So now you can roll a. See,
usually
roll,
that's what happens to us, is that...
So we'll roll a d20, and on a 10 or lower, the persistent damage ends. So a 9. So you are no longer affected by persistent damage.
Amazing.
Could you imagine if the reverse of this had happened, and you had taken max damage from all those attacks?
Yeah, I'd probably be laying on the floor.
46 damage.
Yep, that would put me on the floor. Yep.
And then a giant electrical ball would hit you.
Wait, you're that squishy?
That would put me exactly on the floor.
You're that squishy?
That's the exact amount. Yes.
I have twice your hit points.
I'm a wizard. I am not someone that has...
He's a wizard, Tormir.
Anyway, so... Seeing that this guy is right next to me, I am going to move. And I'm going to move down here.
Okay.
Use the console.
I'm not going to use the console because it takes 3 actions.
Oh, I thought it was 2.
No, it's 3.
No, it takes 3 actions. So I'm not using the console this round. I'm going to move there, and I'm going to cast Paralyze on it. On Andy.
Okay. What does Paralyze do?
It requires them to do a will save. And okay. I'm just double checking what the DC is. It should be 21.
Add one to your DC.
What?
Oh, never mind. Sorry.
So they have to make a will save. If they fail their will save... basically then they that doesn't actually it's so if they fail, basically they become paralyzed for 1 round. If they just succeed then they are stunned 1. Critical failures, they're paralyzed for 4 rounds.
Wow. All right, well, let's see what he gets. What's the DC?
21.
Okay. He got a 23, so he stunned 1.
Of course you roll a 17. Yep, stunned 1. And that's the end of my turn.
All right.
Because I'm like, ouch, get away. And then I try and paralyze him.
All right, up next is Henry, who is going to move over here. Again, right behind. So he's going to move over from the console on the left side of the room to right behind Aether, not moving through an electrical field. And attacking Aether, does a 33 hit you?
It not only hits, it crits.
Okay. And for that, wow, these guys are not rolling well on damage today. It gets 12 damage on you with a crit.
Okie dokie.
Excellent.
You know...
And... Oh, I'm sorry?
I do have to say, it is strange that everything they do is not magic.
Oh, it's magic.
No, wrong song.
You know.
Wrong song.
All right, so he directs, and that one that was not powered on is now activated again. And we are now at Tormir's turn. So all the different pylons are now fully powered right now.
Wait, does the ball land?
Oh, yes. Thank you. So this one goes away. That one finally fades out.
The one that landed last turn.
The one that landed last turn. This one.
The one at the console you thought was just at.
Yep.
And what does that do to Andy?
It Andy's kills in it. There. Powers him up, just like he passed through an electrical field.
Darn it. Darn it.
Hurt him.
You ever seen a supercharged creeper?
Yeah, they're scary.
And then the cloud that's charging up for another one shows up right over top of Stuart, encompassing both Duskwalker and Aether. And Tormir, it is your turn.
All right, I'm going to get a little ballsy here.
Get him.
Is that considered, would be in the path of the arcing?
I'm going to say no.
Okay. So I'm going
to... neither the arcing nor
the cloud.
The cloud.
It's, okay, cool.
There's the one safe space you could be.
Yes. So I'm going to move into a flanking position on Stuart next to Duskwalker across from the Thier. With one action. And then I will... Big surprise here. Go into a flurry of blows.
What? That never happens.
No.
The first attack is a 30.
That is a crit.
The second attack is also a 30.
Which is also a crit.
So the first attack does 26 damage.
Okay.
And the second attack does 44 damage.
Okay. Well, after the first attack, he was two away from death. You overkilled him by 38 damage. So or do you say
he
four,
real dead?
44. 48? 44. I'm sorry. You actually almost double killed him. You were only 3 points away from double killing him.
What is with my rolls today? Oh, I'm so proud of you, Tormir.
Dancing with fists today.
Actually, no. This is all Tegan's fault because he gave me that plus one.
That's true, because actually, yeah, it is.
I kind of did the math.
Yay.
Thank you, Tegan. All right,
is that the end of your turn, or do you still have more actions?
I still have one more action, and I'm going to go move over towards Jethal.
Okay. Is that the end of your turn?
That is, in fact, the end of my turn.
All right, Tabitha, you're up.
Oh, right.
All right, sorry. And thus continues the turn of Aether walking up to something, hitting it, and then Tormir coming up and just murder-balling it.
Pretty much.
Tormir is just kill-stealing all over this combat.
It really is.
All right, Henry. I'm going to mark Henry. And then I am going to fire once. 34.
That's a crit.
I only rolled an 18 on that.
That's still not bad.
Yeah, but I rolled a 1.
Well, you rolled 2 dice. You rolled a 1 and an 8.
So you rolled average, almost. No, yeah. Close to average.
Pretty close to average, yep.
Pretty close to average, yeah.
A 30.
Is also a crit.
18 again.
At least you're consistent.
You are and consistent. 22.
That is a hit.
7.
Okay. And had you marked him previously?
Yeah, I had marked him as my first.
Okay, so the
but I didn't move, so I got 3.
So you still should have one more attack then.
No, because
oh no, you marked him this turn. Got it.
Yeah,
okay.
I just marked him because the other person I had marked died.
Then you are good. Is that the end of your turn?
Yes, correct.
All right, Aether, it is your turn.
How close is he to death?
Close.
Okay. Let's see here. Let's just go ahead and attack, I guess. Since I'm just standing in this cloud of stuff. So let's see what happens.
He who smelt it dealt it.
Yeah. 23.
23 is a hit.
And just out of curiosity, how long does haste and heroism last?
1 minute. So 10 rounds.
Yeah. We still got that. Okay.
Yeah.
This would be my attack for using haste.
Your bonus attack. Okay.
Yep.
So that finishes him off.
For for 11 damage. And then, see, for my next attack, or my next movement, or whatchamacallit, let's see here. Can I get there? I have to do some math here. Okay. So 25 gets me here. And then from there, I wonder if I can do it. Be brave. I don't know if this is smart. I'm trying to figure out how I don't zap myself, to be perfectly honest. Well,
you're going to walk through the field, the electrical field at some point, if you're going to go past it.
Yeah, because we don't have anything down and nobody's next to a console anymore.
Okay.
Jethal's not far away. Jethal can haste himself, then move up, and then be able to do four actions a turn. Or you can always use your vest and do four actions a turn.
I'm going
Why
to...
Why do you have to say my action before I say it?
I think I'll YOLO on this one.
All right.
So, first action, I'm going to move to here, which is 25 feet. Okay. And then I'm going to use... let me make sure that I can use it before I say that I'm going to use it, because sometimes I'm wrong. I wanted to use sudden charge, but I have to use that as an opener. So I guess I'll just move twice then, and then that's my turn, I think.
Okay. So are you going to move into the area?
I'll move. Let me see here. I'll move a safe spot because I don't want to just sit there and get zapped all day. I could probably move. Yeah, that route.
I mean, you could probably make it, like, here easily.
I can go down to this spot here and then get from here to here without going into
the right? The field, because it's coming from both sides, covers the entire space between.
Oh,
so okay. It doesn't matter where you walk through it at. You're going to walk through it.
Okay, how about I just get... I'm just going to move down to here. And that's my turn, and I'm not walking through the field yet.
Sounds good. All right. Is that the end of your turn?
That's my end of my turn.
All right. So Duskwalker is going to move over here, and then she is going to press on her wristwatch, and she's going to teleport over here. So she doesn't actually cross the field. She just disappears on one side of the field and then appears on the other side. And then moves up to the console over there.
I want that.
And that is her turn. Up next goes Andy, who he is more powered up than he would have been had he just crossed the fields, because he got hit by the electrical ball.
Lovely.
And let's see here. We have 1, 2, 3, 4 people to attack, so... I'm going to be fair, and I'm going to roll a d4. So one being Tormir, 2 being Tegan, 3 being Aether, and 4 being Jethal.
Come on, 2.
No, 2.
3! Aether.
Sweet. It's a good thing that I'm sitting here right in front of the things to also power them up.
That is absolutely true. Let's see. So.
Well, at least the next time I don't have to walk to attack him.
That is true. Does a 23 hit you?
Exactly. Oh, wait. Do I get any armor class from heroism or anything? Or is it just DCs?
Skill checks? No.
No,
I think it's just DCs.
AC. All right. So he deals 25 damage to you.
Sweet. Okay.
Eight of which is electrical.
Okay.
So and he's hitting harder.
He is hitting harder. And his second attack does a 26 hit you.
Yep.
Does he not get a penalty for multiple attacks?
Oh, I'm sorry. Subtract 5 off that. Does a 21 hit you?
Nope.
Then no, he does not hit you with the second attack.
Dang. DM trying to cheat.
DM forgetting rules because it's late. All right. That is the end of Andy's turn. Tegan, it is your turn.
Yeah, if Unum was here, he wouldn't have forgotten the rules.
Yeah, I know. No, Unum would have. DM would not have.
I'm just going to move over here behind Ethier. I'm going to cast heal for him.
Are you going to do the second one? Or you're doing the big one on the second level? Yeah. You could always do the third level one, too.
What does the third level one do?
Because since you can cast third level spells now, it does plus, instead of plus 16, it does plus 24.
But that takes us the third level spot.
Yeah.
No, I'm gonna just do second level. So that's 20 hit points for you, Ethier.
Sweet.
You get 20 back.
I'll take that.
All right.
And then that's my turn.
All right, Jethal, you're up.
Sure am. I'm going to use my vest. Okay. So I gain stunned 2.
And then you have one action left.
Yep. And for my other action, shield, I guess.
Okay.
I don't have anything else that's one action, so I do use shield.
The wasp could only have attacked once.
Why's that?
It was stunned one.
It was. Oh, that's right. One. So it wouldn't have been. So the attack that it missed on, just ignore that it even tried it.
That sounds like double cheating by the GM.
If the GM does it, it's not cheating.
But second cheating.
Yeah, exactly. All right. Anyway, so
that is my turn.
All right. And that is the end of the round. And since all of the pillars are active at this point, he steps down.
Oh, good. Yeah. Then somebody else can be king.
And he says, now I shall deal with you myself.
The king is dead, long live the king.
Tormir.
Do any balls land or disappear?
Yes. So this ball goes over here. And this appears right here.
Of course it does.
Wow.
So Tegan, you're safe. Ethier, you're not.
Tormir is
of course.
Tormir is not, and so the ball appeared over where everyone else was standing. It's now targeting over on top of Tormir, and Ethier and Andy.
All right, Tormir is going to walk through the field.
All right.
Tormir, it's just bigger on the right side there because it looks like I'm just barely on the edge.
It's because it overlaps its fireball format, so it goes out a little bit further on the four corners the four middle points.
Gotcha.
Tormir, you take 17 electrical damage as you walk through the field.
Oh, I can taste tingling.
Nah.
All right, we're gonna go for a flurry of blows.
Look at this guy going.
All right, the first attack is a 28.
That hits.
All right. The second attack.
Well, how much damage does that first attack
do? It all combines, so.
Oh, okay. That's fair.
The second attack is a 44.
All right. I mean, if it was possible to double crit, then you would, but you can only crit.
All right, so I do a total of 52 damage.
Well, there is no more Andy. Andy tastes tingling, too.
All right, Tormir is going to move towards the field. Not into it, but yeah.
Okay. We will go to the end of the round, and then... we'll see what happens. So, Tabitha.
Wait,
it
what?
It is your turn. Was that the end of your turn, or was that not the end of your turn?
Well, that was the end of my turn, but what do you mean, let's see what happens?
This does not sound good.
Tormir's going to die.
All right.
Tormir caused enough death.
Tarmid definitely caused enough death.
All right, so I might go over that way. Sorry, I'm just figuring out the best ways of... All right, and my movement speed is 40, I want to say.
25.
I don't know why I got 40, but I did.
I love that, that Francis is just kind of sitting on his butt just back there going like, go, Tabitha!
Well... All right, so I'm going to move over here. Double move. Boop, 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 boop. Right there.
Okay. You will take...
No, I moved through the in between them.
If both sides are active, the field covers the entire space between.
Oh, I didn't realize. I remembered the one.
So you take 10 damage.
Oh, all right.
As you go... Bzz, as you walk through. Bzz. Okay. Bzz. So was that all three of your moves?
That was just two of them.
Okay.
I shall take... Well, because I double moved.
Yeah, and then you are right in front of the field, but not in it on the other one. All right. Is that the end of your turn?
Correct.
All right. Oops. Aether, it is your turn.
Wow. Let me think here. I don't really want to sit in this soon-to-be ball of lightning.
It's a good idea.
So I'm just going to move up to here and dust myself off and end my turn.
Okay. All right. Up next goes Duskwalker, who is going to use the console. And succeeds at deactivating one of them.
There's my girl.
Which one got deactivated?
This one.
He's working on.
I love it when you don't.
Yeah, I'm really descriptive for our listeners. So the one right behind Duskwalker and Tabitha, so allowing access from that side towards the middle.
So it doesn't deactivate two again?
No, because she didn't crit.
So does the one that's in the middle of the field deactivate something else?
Nope. You can deactivate any one pillar you want to when you use it. Unless you get above unless you get more than 10 above the DC, at which point you can deactivate.
So any of them can deactivate them?
Yes. The console can deactivate any one pillar.
Okay.
Or two if you get a crit.
Right.
Tegan, it's your turn.
Okay. Everybody's gone.
Well, except for the big guy.
They've all gone away.
Has he done any threatening movements?
Other than he seems to be directing these large electrical balls that are falling and turning up back on the pillars.
And also threatening to kill us.
And also threatening, you know, he used mean words, too.
Well, that just hurts feelings.
So, I think, didn't magical weapon do something for you, Aether?
So there's the one that gives me striking, which is really good. But you have to touch me to do that.
You're really striking.
I'll come up behind you and touch your sword and you hit striking.
We're just not doing phrasing anymore? Okay.
No, we haven't been doing phrasing for a while.
Are you gonna spit or swallow afterwards?
Wow.
Alright, so you now have a striking weapon.
And I'm heroic and I'm hasty.
You are
it's a very nice looking weapon. It is striking.
Jethal, it is your turn, so you now have four actions this turn.
Yep. I use one action to move up, and the other action to interact with the thing. So that's just a...
Arcana check.
Arcana check. Sure. I rolled an 18, because I rolled a 4.
Okay.
You can deactivate one direction of one pillar.
Use a hero point.
Or you could use a hero point and reroll it.
When do hero points? So every
when we slept.
When you rest. So you reset it to one when you just rested in the airship overnight.
Yeah, let's go ahead and use it and reroll that. It's a little better.
There you go.
Okay, 27.
You can fully deactivate one.
Woohoo!
Does he get to choose?
He does get
probably
to choose.
Probably the one right behind me, so that everyone is around, I think, is probably the best move.
All right. Sounds good.
Say, there! I've opened the path!
All right. So that one is deactivated, and... that is the end of the round, and the large dwarf says, fine, if they can't deal with you, I'll deal with you myself. And he steps through the electrical field.
Oh, no.
And grows slightly as he moves through it.
And, now he's 4.5 feet tall.
And he will, we will end the session there as he is
he's
moving towards
you. He's in arrow range.
He is in arrow range of you. So... thank you for listening to, thank you listeners for tuning in again for this extra long episode of Paper Pencil Dice. We'll see who is this giant dwarf and what harm does he mean to the party next time. But in the interim, thank you again for tuning in. If you want to reach out to us, you can reach us at paperpencildicepodcast@gmail.com. Otherwise, until next time, keep gaming, friends.
Dormir don't take no crit!
Thanks for listening to this episode of Paper Pencil Dice. Reach out to us at paperpencildicepodcast@gmail.com. Join us next time to find out what our heroes get into next on Paper Pencil Dice.